Welcome to our Teaching Pronunciation in the EFL Classroom podcast. This is going to be my favorite recording because pronunciation is something that untrained teachers do very poorly and usually very incorrectly. And it only takes a little bit of training, a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of extra understanding to know how to teach pronunciation well and to make great gains in your students. So here we are. We're going to talk about it. And if no other part of this training helps you make great strides, this part should. On the webpage, it says, pronunciation is an area of great difficulty for the untrained teacher. But with a little training and practice, you can facilitate the improvement of your students' pronunciation almost as well as the seasoned professional. For our purposes here, pronunciation will include stress, rhythm, and intonation. Now, already it can seem to start to get a little bit scary and a little bit confusing, but stress is really just the words that we emphasize when we speak. Rhythm, there's a rhythm in English that we don't really pay attention to because it's our language. If you're a native speaker, people who've learned English as a second language pick up this idea of rhythm much more easily because they've had to study it. But for native speakers, sometimes it's really an alien idea. You're going to have to pay attention to it as we talk about it because it just doesn't always come natural to you. And the third area is intonation. We tend to think of, you know, Chinese or Vietnamese or Thai as languages that use tones, but English also uses tones, believe it or not. Maybe not really tones, but uses intonation in the sense that we, when we ask questions, we raise the tone of our voice at the end of a sentence. Usually when we stress a word in a sentence, we will speak it at a slightly higher pitch. We don't know this usually. If you're an untrained teacher and you've never thought about it or never read anything about it, you won't know this because you just do it naturally. And that's a little bit what being a native speaker is all about, is that you do these things naturally and you have them just built into how your language works. But this idea of pronunciation is so difficult for your students to get that it really, really frustrates them. And it's one of the best things you can do is learn to get a handle on this idea of how to teach pronunciation, and your students will just love you because you can help their self-confidence, you can help the way they speak, you can help their pronunciation immeasurably. Now, if you look on the website, one of the things on the top right-hand side of the page of the pronunciation page is this nice photograph of a skull speaking the word something like pronunciation in IPA script. And that just seems impossible for most people to learn. And while I'll say it's not impossible, it's not needed. Whew, great sense of relief. It's really not needed. Your students don't know it. And if you spend the time to teach it to your students, by the time you get done teaching it to them, they will have moved on to another teacher who doesn't know it. Because most teachers don't know it. And if you look in dictionaries around the world, there's at least 10 well-established systems for describing and writing pronunciation and how it works. We're going to talk about a more simple system here. On the webpage, I talk a little bit about using a respelling system. And all respelling is kind of spelling things the way they sound to you. Now, the way they sound to you, because your pronunciation is probably different from mine, the way they sound to you and the way you might respell them might be a little bit different from how I do. But I'm going to tell you, that's okay. It's not a problem. What we're trying to do is to get our students close to the pronunciation. And we can do that by using respelling systems. If you can find a book called Sound Advice, written by Stacy Hagen, and there's another book called Sound Advantage. Sound Advice is a listening book written by Stacy Hagen, and Sound Advice is a, or Sound Advantage is a pronunciation book. The great thing is if you get a hold of those two books, they show exactly how listening and pronunciation fit together. Because if we pronounce things correctly, when we hear them, we'll understand them. If we mispronounce things, if we pronounce them poorly, when we hear them spoken correctly, we won't understand them. So when you help your students with pronunciation, you're also helping them with listening. So get a handle on this idea of what respelling is about. One of the most important things to understand as a new teacher is, and I used to do this when I first started because I wasn't a trained teacher when I first started, is don't speak too slowly to help your students understand. You actually hurt your students when you speak unnaturally slowly, when you over-enunciate English. Why? Because they will never hear a native speaker speak that way. So you're teaching them to listen for some unnatural speech that they're never going to hear. If they're watching a movie on TV or they run into a native speaker on the street and they want to talk to them, they're never just going to hear it spoken unnaturally slowly, unnaturally over-enunciated. So in fact, you hurt your students. You're wasting their time teaching them to listen for something that's not going to happen. Now, I'm not saying that the first week or two of a class when you have new students who aren't familiar with your voice, with your pronunciation, and maybe they're not particularly skilled students, I'm not saying that you should not speak a little bit slower and help them understand what you're saying. That's perfectly okay. The way I used to do it when I was teaching full time was I would purposefully slow my speaking down the first class or two or three, and really maybe the first couple weeks. And then I would forget about it. Not purposefully, I just forget about it because you get excited talking about what you're teaching or what you're doing. And what happens is you kind of automatically begin to pick up speed and speak the way you speak. Now, I have to confess, when I'm in a classroom and I'm teaching students, I don't speak as fast as I would, say, when I'm speaking to my wife or to a good friend from where I'm from. But I do slow my speech down a little bit. I've got a good friend from Brisbane, Australia. And to me, to my ears, from Arizona in the United States, he's got a really strong accent. So I speak a little slower when I talk to him to make sure he understands me. And sometimes I have to ask him to repeat himself. Get used to the idea that over-enunciating, speaking slowly, are not necessarily good things for your students. They don't really help your students. Your students need to hear you speak naturally. They need to hear you speak naturally. It's really important. Let's talk a little bit about what speech really, a little bit about, I like that phrase, a little bit about, because what we're going to talk about is what language really sounds like. So the teacher who speaks too slowly and who over-enunciates will say, let's talk a little bit about. But you notice when I said it, I said, let's talk a little bit about, a little bit about. So what we need to do is to talk about respelling and what pronunciation of the English language really sounds like. On the web page, we say, consider the following. My name is Fred. Really sounds like my name is Fred. My name is Fred. Or the phrase or sentence, how much is it? How much is it? How much is it? Isn't how much is it? If you teach that to your students, they'll never understand it when they hear it. It really sounds like how much is it? Sit. Ah, okay. So the idea of one word connecting to the beginning of the next word is called linking. Linking, like links in a chain, because we link our words together in English. If you do a Google search and you want to research the idea more, sometimes it is called liaisons. Liaisons. There's some information on the bottom of the web page about linking. It's important to download and read the links there too. Now, many untrained teachers will say, what? I don't speak like that. Nobody speaks like that. But they've never gotten into the habit of listening to themselves. And it's really important to begin to listen to what to what you say and what it might sound like to somebody else. As native speakers, we just don't hear it. We just don't hear it. It's just kind of built in and natural. And that's a little bit why people hire native speakers, is because we don't get it wrong. You know, we don't get it accidentally incorrect. There's a great phrase on the website that says, Sue wants to get a better water heater. Water heater. And it says, say it quickly in normal speech and see what it really sounds like. It sounds like, Sue wants to get a better water heater. Sue wants to get a better water heater. Sue wants to get a better water heater. The idea of these words sticking together and some sounds becoming smaller is called reduction. And there's more information about reductions in some of the downloads further down on the webpage. There's variation, of course, by country and region. And one time I met a lady who was very proud of her Queen's English and her diction, and she had won awards for the way she spoke. And she did speak very clearly, and she really didn't reduce things much. But you don't run into people like that very often, nor will your students. So it's really nice she could speak that way, but almost she would help her students if she learned how to speak a little bit more quickly and relaxed her language a little bit more. Let's talk a little bit about word and sentence stress, and what is stress about? In different languages and students around the world oftentimes have different stress patterns in their language. And English has a certain stress pattern. So we, for example, in English we say banana, banana. If I want to eat a banana, banana. You hear that stress? In the second syllable is na, banana. That second syllable is longer, higher pitched, and even a little bit louder. Banana, banana. But funny enough, if you listen to, a student who is a native speaker of Thai language, they will say banana, banana. They saw it in English. They spoke it exactly as they saw it, because their stress system is different, when we're listening to them, we may not understand. If a student says, I'd like a banana, most people will say, what? What do you want? I don't understand what you want. So stress is really important. You can teach your students to speak English, give them a great vocabulary, and if they don't get pronunciation down, it's all a waste of time. It's all a waste of time. It's so important to spend your time with this. Now, one of the great things that you can do is tell your students, look, in your language, the stress system is different. In English, it is different. You're not, and this is a problem that so many students have, and you need to tell them, you're not stupid. English is just different, and here's how it's different. The stress system is different. The rhythm system is different. The intonation system is different. So in spite of the fact that you memorize this huge vocabulary and you studied for years, you know, you have to get this part down. So this is why it's exciting to learn how to teach pronunciation, because you can really help your students a lot. And they'll be happy you did. Down on that same webpage, I'm going to say in the pronunciation webpage, it says, sentences will have similar stress patterns that students need to learn, and respelling them can help with that too. Some words are not so important to hear. Some are reduced in time, loudness, and tone. Remember, we said a stressed word is louder, lasts longer, and it's higher pitch. So now we're saying some words are reduced in exactly those things. Those words are less important. Some words are more important. They're louder, longer, have a higher tone. Those words are called content words. Those words are the words that carry the message of our language. This is important. They are nouns, main verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. Less important words are called function words. So they just provide the structure for our language. They're not really important. They just kind of provide some structure. They're pronouns, helping verbs, conjunctions, and prepositions. What I'm telling you, these rules, they're not always true, but they're good general guidelines. Now, the way to think about content words, the important words, is if you're talking on a mobile or on a cell phone and reception is really bad, You don't need to hear every word that somebody says. You just need to hear the important words. And in English, you as a native speaker already know what those words are. So, for example, it's on the webpage, it says, my name is Bob. My name is Bob. My and name says, my name is Bob, as an example sentence. But when you speak that, you say, my name is Bob. My name is Bob. Name is louder. Bob is louder. Name is higher pitched. Bob is higher pitched. Name is longer. Bob is longer. Those are the stressed words. Those are the important words. Now, be careful, because I'm just now telling you how important it is to teach people these ideas. Don't overdo word and sentence stress. It's important to speak naturally when you teach students these things. Now, you can overemphasize it just a little bit when you're teaching students the concept. But when you get back to speaking, you know, it's just a part of teaching. Go back to normal speaking. That's the idea of intonation and stress. My name is Bob. My name is Bob. My name is Bob. Name. My name is Bob. Students need to get the idea of louder, longer, higher pitch. Just like talking on a mobile phone or a cell phone. You only need to hear the important parts. I remember when I first started paying attention to this as a teacher, it was really sometimes impossible to hear because I hadn't trained my ears to listen for it. Take some time and begin to listen to people when they're speaking. And if you're not sure where, listen to some sentences, listen to people speak, and try to start to think a little bit about what people sound like when they speak. If you're not sure, write down a sentence, speak it. If you're not sure where the stress is, speak it and listen. Is it longer? Is it louder? Is it higher pitched? If it is, it's stressed. It's a content word. If it's not, it's a function word, and it's usually reduced. There's some great downloads on the webpage. Sometimes there's a link to the Kent University Phonetics resource page, and just depending, I put on the webpage, it says sometimes their webpage isn't working, sometimes it's not, but it's very worth, you know, if it's not working, it's not working. But if it's not working, try to go back again in a day or two or three and go to that page and see the stuff they've got. It's great stuff. There's a download for word stress. There's a download for sentence stress. There's a download for linking. There's some good notes on pronunciation notes and linking. Download all that. Really pay attention. I promise you, you'll be a superior teacher if you pay attention about how to teach pronunciation. You will be a better teacher than anybody else who teaches at the school where you teach, because most teachers don't know how. Most teachers are afraid of pronunciation, and you won't be. So get a handle on it. It's not as difficult as you might think it will be. If you have any questions, any problems, or if anything on the website isn't working the way you think it should, even if you see a misspelling, as always, make sure you let me know. Check out our spam-free contact page and send me an email, and we'll make sure it gets fixed. Or I'll help you with any problems you have. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Bye-bye.